fingers.
So he hates Indians too.
Apparently.
Tom, do you hate Indians?
Do I hate Indians?
Do you hate Indians?
No.
Okay. Good answer.
Wait, which kind of Indian?
Wow.
This is not the only Indian defining conversation I've had over the past couple
no.
years.
No?
Yeah.
Apparently Canada has a large population of... This conversation is a large population of Indians.
Yeah, indigenous.
Native American?
So the conversation started going on.
They
just kept ranting about how they've got a lot of Indians up there.
Right.
And just go with, like, Indians, and then they started talking about, somebody made a casino joke, and I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, what kind of Indians are you talking about? And then the kid said, no, I'm not talking about, convenience store Indians.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's why you gotta say engines.
That's how we know. Yeah. And you gotta
that's how, that's what engines. Kind of podcast this is gonna
got
be.
It,
yeah.
Got it. Engines.
Yes. Engines.
So welcome everybody to Capes and Scales. This is a random podcast. It is not numbered. I refuse to number it. And we're just gonna introduce ourselves and we'll start at the left and work our way around. So
I'm Olivia.
I'm Cliff.
Hi, I'm Tom.
I'm Lisa.
I'm Rich.
And of course, I'm Tim, and we're just going to riff because we're drunk and we want to, right? We're not drunk yet.
Nope.
Not yet.
We will be. We will be.
I would have agreed if I wasn't currently drinking.
Yes.
Way to be belligerent.
Only way to
be.
We're not
off to a good start here.
No, we're not really off to a good start. But it's all of our first time, so like Tim's... Yeah. Tim's really taken our podcasting.
I'm going to take you all by the hand and just lead you into this audio experience. I bought a really awesome comic book the other day. It was a 10-cent comic book. It was a Tomahawk comic book where it was a bunch of Indians, Native American Indians, trying to storm a fort, and they had a giant mechanical iron giant looking Indian. It was amazing.
Oh. Pizza burger! Pizza burger!
I didn't. I thought I had more time to explain the pizza burger was coming.
So there's a pizza
is
burger.
Is Tomahawk the publisher or is that the
Tomahawk
run of the
is
title?
The comic?
Yes.
Say. Yes.
Now, who publishes it?
Oh, God, I think it was DC back in the day. I'll have to look. I forget.
I still haven't read that Moon Knight comic you sneaked into my.
What? I don't do that to people. I have a burger.
Yeah, it's only Howard the Duck, right?
Yes.
Sneak it in.
That's a little bit bigger, though. That's like a full trade size. This was just like all of a sudden I split two of my comic books apart and there was just a Moon Knight there. Along with that, the one that I knew you were giving me, which was like the Superboy or
something
like that. You just picked up a comic book that one day you're like...
I was like, I can't justify selling this to anybody. And I gave it to you. That's kind of how that works.
That was after I had discovered that my TV was shattered into tiny pieces.
You were
pieces
very sad.
I was upset more than that. Sad.
He was pretty sad. He was broken. He was defeated. I couldn't stand to look at him. I just wanted him to leave. But he wouldn't leave. So I said, let me make everything better with a Moon Knight comic.
Well, no, you didn't even say that you were giving me the Moon Knight comic. It just appeared.
Well, Moon Knight just has to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you can plan.
It's a lunar anomaly.
Yeah. Right, it's the Moon Knight.
And Superboy comic makes sense because he shattered DC continuity. And
I think
TV is shattered.
The old school Superboy.
Oh, it
though,
was old
not
school.
Like Superboy really Prime bad. Punching a hole in the continuity of a comic.
Which is better? Which is weird? Which is odd? Remember that time you punched continuity in the face?
Yeah.
Weird. That was good.
Sometimes continuity needs to get punched
after
in the face.
After you got ran into the Speed Force? Somehow?
You mean the plot device? Yeah, that happened.
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin. Agreed.
Agreed. Yes, I'm MacGuffins. Yes.
I'm lost.
You're lost?
Yeah.
How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
How's your day been?
Good. It's a busy Sunday.
Why so busy?
At the Starbucks.
Ah, yes, the Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess, I don't know. Everybody needs their pumpkin spice lattes.
That's the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Teenaged white girls.
Yeah. I had some pumpkin spice coffee the other day, and it was
and
not good at all.
Beers.
No.
Because it was not from Starbucks.
Yeah.
It smelled like pumpkin, but tasted like regular coffee. It was very disheartening.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Your coffee tasted like coffee.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Oh darn.
I was very upset.
Did you pay a premium for the pumpkin though?
No.
Okay, then I think you didn't really lose
too much. I'm not a premium kind of guy.
Still pay the pumpkin tax though. Mm. The New Jersey pumpkin tax.
Mm.
Yeah. It's a thing.
Bunch of savages.
Is it? Is it really?
No, that's not
it.
No idea. No.
Just checking.
We just go with it.
I retrieved the pizza burger and now I'm all discombobulated.
You just don't know where you are anymore.
I gotta make things up.
Do you know your conversation?
Name? I'm gonna eat the pizza burger and then you guys have to like carry it all.
We have to
yourselves.
Carry the conversation while you're eating.
Leander hates it when people eat on microphone. So Leander, this one's for you. Cause it's my pizza burger. And it's so good. All
right. So to keep it comic book themed, I've decided to make the terrible decision to start reading Invincible.
It's such a good book.
Why'd you give me the first book if it's a terrible decision?
Because
I thought it was good.
It is good. And the issue is we're going to have the desire to read all of it as quickly as possible.
So
because of how good it is. No, Rich only has the first three trades, and then he has the issues following.
Which I will not read out. It's my favorite comic book, so that's staying.
Oh, so do you have, like, the first three trades, and then, like, one through whatever issue they're on now?
Yeah.
And those are all, I assume, like, bagged and boarded?
Yep. The only comic book I have entirely bagged and boarded.
And I don't think I actually have
worth
real
every
comic books.
Second. So if you like the first trade at all, if anybody ever reads it and likes the first trade... You have to buy the second one because the whole. Because
you got to make it to the third one.
Yeah, the whole book takes an absolute left turn in the second trade. Just jumps off to the side, and it's been fantastic ever since.
I just remember you and I were sitting in the comic book store before they got the new space, and you
30
were
North Main Street, Glasgow, New Jersey.
Plug.
Munch.
And
I'm sorry, continue.
The
old, like, I was kind of reading over your shoulder, and the part that I saw was like the main character getting raped by another one of his race. I was like, huh.
Yeah. Yep.
I picked an odd time to start reading this comic book, apparently.
One of the oddest times, yeah, because that was one of the most out of left field.
So where does that fall into, like, the first, second, third trade?
It's
that's
probably...
like, 19th trade or something.
Yeah, it's pretty
far. That's
issue,
really
like,
far.
That is 110, 115,
yeah, like
somewhere in the range.
There's, like, 23 trades out, I think. So we've started you down a dark path.
Yeah. That's okay, I have disposable income.
Oh, not a dark path. Oh, the opposite.
What we like to hear.
You're going to love every second of it.
I do have all the trades, and I would lend them to you, but I've packed them up, and I don't know where they are now. I'm sorry.
They're gone, and he knows
not
where.
So you're
going
to have to find them, I guess.
But when I read it, I read three trades a week, and I just kept buying them and buying them. I'm like, what can I go without so I could buy more Invincible?
Yeah.
That's the concern that Olivia has, my wife, that I will do that.
I'm doing that with
our stone
packs.
Since we don't have all the disposable income that Tom has... Because we just bought a house.
Yes.
Yay. Congratulations. Yay.
Which I'm luckily going...
Thank you for the pity claps.
Which is so kindly letting me hang up neat comic books in our hangout area. So
that's
pretty
cool.
I've started the collection of all of the black suit Spider-Mans and 300... Amazing Spider-Man 300 issue variants. Like Silk. There's the Doc Ock one.
Spider-Gwen has them.
Spider-Gwen. So I'm going to have a collection of black suit and 300 parody variants hanging all over my basement.
I still need to get my Sin City. Which was the first one that has Dwight? Not the Dame to Kill For, the one that they did in the actual first movie. The Big Fat Kill?
Big Fat Kill.
So I have the first issue of that because I asked for... The Big Fat Kill as a birthday present, and my dad went and got the Big Fat Kill issue number one instead of the trade, because apparently they're called the same thing.
It's pretty awesome, though.
It is. I'm really excited about it. I just haven't gotten it in a frame, which is where it should be.
Sin City's amazing.
It's really good.
It's really, really good.
The movies, not bad.
They're
but,
okay.
Enjoyable, but after reading the books, I was like, wow, this is really good. I missed out by just watching the movies.
Has anybody seen the second one in here?
I have not.
It's not as good.
No.
Like, the first movie is pretty good and is pretty faithful to the source material that it draws from, and then the second one just kind of like, I don't even know.
Which is a shame, because the Dame to Kill For is probably my favorite one.
They actually did a pretty good job with that. It's just that they made up a bunch of stuff like around it, which I thought was weird.
I'm not a fan of when movies take like priorities, you know, liberties with source material when it's there.
Like Wanted?
You mean kind of like
Wanted. If any of you have read the book Wanted and seen the movie, you know they're two very different things.
Yeah. I started reading Wanted the comic book, and I was like, okay, this is kind of going like the movie, and then like that's not what happened.
All of a sudden
they're
superheroes.
Like,
and it was good the whole way through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The comic book, it's fantastic. But then the movie, they're like, oh, we're just gonna get McAvoy to just flick his wrist, and then bullets they curve, right?
They curve.
That's cool.
Like they had character names that were the same, and then everything else is just
bunch of bullshit. Because I was really looking forward to that movie.
I really enjoyed the movie, though. But I went into it having not read the book. So I had no idea what I was getting into. It's like, oh, they're assassins and they can kind of do supernatural things. That's cool.
Yeah, if you don't call it Wanted, it's a great movie.
Right.
Yeah.
You did it perfectly back then.
Kind of like Star Wars Galaxies should have called itself anything but Star Wars Galaxies. Because putting the Star Wars name on it ruined it.
Is that the game?
It was the original Star Wars MMO.
Oh.
And the problem was, like, as soon as you put the Star Wars name on it, like, the entire fandom wants to be in on the action. Oh. And what happened was, like, people were like, no, it needs to be this. No, it needs to be that. And they would change to try and meet what they thought was, like, the current, this is what the game should be, and it just destroyed it. So if they have called it, like, Space Simulator 2002 or whatever it actually came out.
Let's get that kickstarted right now.
Yeah, it would have been a perfectly fine MMO.
You heard it here first. Kickstarts.
Now, for a book all of us at this table have read, we have Sex Castle by Kyle Starks. Now, if you haven't read this and you like anything humorous and action-packed,
read it.
It's the perfect 80s action movie comic book.
Yeah, I read it on the way back from Pittsburgh today, actually.
It's everything about this book is amazing. It's a quick read. The
wall-to-wall ass-kicking.
Right. There's your Dolph Lundgren character, your Hulk Hogan character, your Mr. T character. It's got everything you could ever want out of the 80s.
Sly Stallone, Arnold. The main characters like Snake Plissken from the Escape from New York and LA movies.
It's got everything about it is great.
Charles Bronson.
Bronson.
Can't forget him.
A lot of people have.
Highly recommended. Read. It's fun. It's fast. Doesn't require much thought.
And Kyle Starks, you should contact Tim and get on his podcast because he's sold.
Yes.
Lots of copies.
Yes. Collectively, all of us going to the comic book store have, I don't know how many issues have been sold because of us recommending it to people.
Last week I sold five. Five of the trades.
Oh no.
And then I sold two yesterday.
Hashtag Kyle Starks on Capes and Scowls.
Yep, there you go. And he is a New York Times best-selling author.
Bestseller.
Yeah. Oh, well, he's an author-writer guy. He's fine.
Yeah.
I just left his blog post with, what was it? What did he call his Jaeger? Old Shitbox.
Old Shitbox.
Powered by shit and two drift-compatible hobos.
I would watch a Pacific Rim sequel if Old Shitbox was the main character.
Hold on. Are you predicating you're seeing the second movie on that being in it? Like you're not going to see it if that's not there.
No, that's
because I really liked Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
and I'm going to see the sequel.
Pacific Rim was probably one of the most fun to watch movies I've seen in a long time. Absolutely no storyline whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I mean, when there's
a storyline, there's Godzilla, then there's a giant robot punching it, and then you jump down a hole that hopefully stops Godzilla from showing up again.
That's the movie pitch. That's not a storyline. let's just clarify that. When Hercules Hansen is having a conversation with Stacker Pentecost, the whole thing is just void. Null and void. Anything on the ground level, no thank you. No thank you. Let's get this camera pointed up, and let's watch a Jaeger punch the shit out of some Godzilla wannabe, and I will buy tickets to that every time they make a new one.
Did you know that Gypsy Danger is analog, so it's not affected by EMP somehow? Despite yes. having wires that have to transfer electricity somehow?
It's steampunk, so it's fine.
Yeah. So, did you ever play Bioshock, speaking of steampunk?
I have never played Bioshock.
So, Bioshock is like a steampunk-themed first-person shooter, and one of the things is there's turrets that shoot you, but not their friends. And you have to wonder, how does Steam know how to differentiate between friend and foe? Furthermore, why is the hacking minigame you making a line from here to here with pipes and then watching water flow through it? Doesn't make any sense. And that somehow switches the allegiance of the turret to start shooting at somebody else. The same Steam-powered thing. How does it have artificial intelligence?
It's different water. Mm. It's good guy water.
It's the hacker water versus the
it's good guy water versus bad guy water.
Switching from Poland Springs to Evian.
There you go.
It's patriotic steam.
Pal. America, that's why. Because America.
You ingested that thing with America.
Mm-hmm. That's what you did. That's what you did.
Yeah.
That's what you did. Did you play Bioshock? Did you play any of those games? Am I the only one that played them?
No, I played them.
Okay,
so I know what you're talking about. In those damn hacking games, if it was like expert level or whatever, and you had to go super quick, I failed miserably every time. And got
Infinite was really good, too.
I didn't play that one.
Well, yeah, so you go up to a city in the sky, and everyone's like terrifyingly patriotic there, and they're also jingoistic and racist.
Oh.
They're breathing in the steam.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, too much steam.
It's the communist steam.
Too much America steam.
Well, no, it's not. Specifically, the city's called Columbia. They're a bunch of United States separatists who think their United States is better than everyone else's, so they launch a city into the sky.
Oh, and that's how they don't know there's already a Columbia. And they're just kind of...
kind of taking somebody else's name.
Yeah, then they got to start paying, royalties and everything to regular Columbia.
You get to fight mechanized George Washington and Abraham Lincoln robots.
That's amazing. I'm down for that. That's like Pacific Rim for me. Like, I'm in.
It's pretty good. They're also, though, it also so happens that the Abraham Lincoln and George Washington robots are incredibly hard to kill because they have mini guns built into their arms.
Yes.
And they are the symbol of freedom. And justice, so they better be hard to kill.
They are.
Can't kill our freedom. Can't do it.
Cannot tell a lie. I'm going to kick your ass.
I'm going to chop down your cherry tree.
So I'm a little upset. I heard that they are reshooting a ton of Man of Steel. It's supposed to be the Man of Steel sequel, so they're reshooting a bunch of it to put more Ben Affleck in it.
Interesting.
Wait, for Batman versus Superman?
Yeah, it was originally supposed to be a Man of Steel sequel, and they're going back and reshooting a bunch of it, so I have to look at his butt chin some more.
Is that so that they can splice in Ben Affleck like during the parts of Man of Steel where he was like in the background somewhere, like when he's fighting General Zod and the building just collapses?
I have no idea what they're trying to add, but I'm a little upset that they're going back and doing that.
To be fair, they don't know.
No,
they're kind of winging it.
Yeah. Yeah, they really have no idea what they're doing.
It's just a bunch of
fantastic. I mean, they'll make it good. Like, Zack Snyder's gonna. No, we'll get to. Let's just go there now. Fantastic Four.
So Rich and Lisa here have seen Fantastic Four, but not
I have not.
Oh,
seen it.
So it's just Rich. Yeah, yeah. Lisa is absolved of all.
She threw you under that bus.
Yeah, no, it's fine. That's fine. I didn't want to see that. That's the bus I belong on.
The Fantastic Bus.
It was presented by. A source that I didn't have to pay to watch it. So yes, sure. I have not seen Ant-Man yet. Mm-hmm. Everyone else has seen Ant-Man. I heard it's fantastic, but it hasn't been given to me for free.
You know, you could pay money and see a movie that's worth paying money for.
I could do that, but Fantastic Four isn't worth paying money for. And it was presented to me.
That doesn't preclude you from seeing Ant-Man, though. But by giving them, like, $5 or whatever it is to go to the AMC.
Fantastic Four was free, and everybody was willing to, like, break their children's leg just to take them to the hospital to get out of watching Fantastic Four. It wasn't that bad.
How many people did that exactly? Do you have like a statistic?
30,000. 30,000. And that's just the population that was in San Diego. I'm not talking about the rest of the world.
Sure, sure.
That's the only place I took the poll.
I don't have a piece of paper and a pen, but I'd write citation needed and hold it up in front of you if I could.
I'll get back to it. I'll get back to it next time.
Okay.
Next podcast that we randomly do in a kitchen. Yeah.
A year.
It's a nice kitchen.
Oh, it is a nice kitchen.
Thank you very much.
I have podcasted in some terrible places. This is great.
Well, there you go. I feel like I need to backtrack a little bit, too. Okay? So, Fantastic Four, I'm not saying it was good. I don't want that to
That's
be a conversation.
What I've already heard is that it's Fantastic
I don't
Four
want it to be
greater than Ant-Man. That's all I've heard.
It was Fantastic Four stars, I heard it.
Yeah, I was expecting to want to kill myself. I only just wanted to get my hour back.
That's how I'm this current.
That's all.
Wow, yeah. That spiked it pretty good. That's going to be good. That woke up everybody.
You know, it was written by a kindergartner, and it was acted by four more kindergartners.
Don't be so hard on kindergartners.
It wasn't.
And then they had Freddy from Freddy's Barbecue as the dad.
Right, some kindergartners.
House of Cards.
Yeah, from House of Cards. As soon as I saw him on the trailer, I was like, what's Freddy doing here?
Right.
Get out of here, quick.
He did his thing until they killed him off, which was fine. Yeah.
Well, spoiler alerts to people that don't give a shit about this movie.
Right.
Yeah. He died in the trailer.
Tom
waited,
he doesn't give a shit.
They should have, like, laying there all, like, fried up and like, be fantastic.
Man, I must not have seen that trailer, because I don't remember that. Not that I really care.
Now Rich is just making up shit about this shitty movie.
Did you just, like, cut your own trailer or something?
No.
You liked it that much that you just made your own trailer for it?
Oh, no.
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 How much do you love this movie?
The only reason this is even coming back... No, I didn't like it at all.
How much did you love it, though?
I guess if I had to give it, like, out of 5 stars...
On the love scale.
on the love scale. Five stars on the love scale?
Yeah.
You heard it here. 5 stars on the love scale.
There it is.
It happened.
Okay. I can act that to be what we
heard it here first, folks. 5 stars. You know, there was a guy that was on fire, and a dude that was, you know, made of rocks, and then a guy that stretched, and a chick that you couldn't see for half the movie. So, you know, that's about right.
Her acting was the best, then.
Yeah.
They probably didn't have to pay her as much, either.
Right.
Yeah.
If she's just invisible.
Oh, and the rock guy, too, because he was only, like, a dude for, like, 15 minutes. And he had, like, the worst lines. He was all like, I don't know.
Did your friend Reed? Did they say it's clobbering time?
Yeah.
Like, a lot?
No, only once that I was paying attention for. Because I did kind of zone out.
Michael Chiklis didn't say it that much in the first and second one.
Michael Chiklis is awesome.
Mm. Yeah. He does have class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one time he says, like, I never thought I'd say this, but it's clobbering time. It's like, that actually kind of works. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those movies were
still not good, though.
No. Yes.
But the whole franchise needs to just go to Marvel.
To come a little full circle on the Batman vs. Superman, Ant-Man, Fantastic Four.
Love Fest.
Love Fest.
How does this come back around?
Zack Snyder has recently said that Batman vs. Superman will be a movie that stands the test of time because of how good it is, unlike Ant-Man and the other Marvel films.
Is this like the remedial test?
It might be. I felt a little dumber for having read it. Because I'm not sure.
Do you need to take the remedial test?
I might need to now.
Because nothing Zack Snyder has made has stood the test of any kind of time.
It might stand the test of time as the worst movie ever made.
Gonna look up what movies he's directed.
Yes, that's the biggest possible
Watchmen.
He did do Watchmen.
Yeah. And that was alright.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, but that was alright. It's alright. You go back and you watch 300 now, and like
300's still not bad.
It's alright.
But that's not like a movie for the ages or something like that.
No, God no. And then he tops it all off with Sucker Punch, which is very aptly named. Because, man.
That was just not good.
Man, the trailer had a giant samurai robot with a chain machine gun. I was like, this is going to be great. And it was just a terrible, terrible, terrible thing he did to me.
So, he did Dawn of the Dead as the director, 300 as the director and writer, Watchmen as just the director, which kind of fits, because it seems like anything that he is involved in the writing process is kind of out there. Sucker Punch he directed, produced, and wrote, probably because he couldn't get anybody else to work on it with him. Man of Steel he directed. He didn't write. That's interesting. 300, the sequel to 300 he did not direct, but he produced and wrote?
So your theory is holding up, actually. Yeah.
You're doing nothing but validating
it. He's directing Batman v Superman, but he's not producing, he's not writing. He's involved in Suicide Squad, too. He's an executive producer? I didn't know that.
Well, he's putting up the money for it.
Yeah.
And he's directing Justice League Part 1.
That's like a couple years out. So.
Which I thought the whole reason we had to put it with Ben Affleck as Batman is because he was supposed to be the director of Justice League. And then he got the Batman part, backed out of directing Justice League.
I'd rather have Ben Affleck directing Justice League than playing Batman. I don't mind Ben Affleck the director. Not a fan of Ben Affleck the actor.
He's done some great movies as a director.
Yes, most of his movies that he's directed have been fantastic.
How involved with Gone Girl was he?
He just acted in it.
He just acted.
Yeah, I think he just was.
And then he's so good. He's so good.
I liked that movie. I never actually saw that. Up until the last 5 minutes of that movie, I thought it was great. And then the ending happened.
The movie was so good until it was supposed to pay off.
Right, and then it did. That movie needs to end 5 minutes before it actually ends.
It was like 2 hours long, too.
Yeah.
It was not good. Because all of it was just mediocre. Because you're expecting her to get her comeuppance.
Yeah, the ending is very not satisfying. No. Like, you feel really let down at how the movie ends. At least I did, personally, and everybody I've spoken to feels that had the movie had a slightly different ending, it would have been a much better movie.
Yeah. It reminded me of, what was it?
Fantastic Four.
Love Scale 5.
No Country for Old Men, but yeah, Fantastic Four.
I still like that movie.
I don't know if it actually ended. Like, it just goes like, oh, all
right. I hated everything about that movie.
Really?
Yeah, everything about it. Oh. I was bored the whole time I watched it. I still want to argue my feelings of Carl Urban being Batman.
Carl Urban's awesome.
I just want a sequel to Dread. Is that too much?
To I could get behind that, too. I mean, that man can emote so much from his chin. And if you need anything for Batman, you need chin emotion.
You could just watch The Raid Redemption. It's the same movie as Dredd.
I just want more Judge Dredd, though.
You could watch Stallone.
No. That was not as good.
No, that wasn't even remotely good.
No.
The even video game was better.
Even if they just had like a TV series, like a four-episode one-shot TV series or something like that?
It's a Netflix series. Oh. That's where it would thrive.
Speaking of Netflix series, Longmire just moved. Their fourth season on that just came out on Netflix.
Nice.
I haven't watched it yet, though.
I heard it's good.
I really enjoyed that show.
Haven't watched it.
It's like too
much to
spaghetti
watch.
Spaghetti Western.
I'm not a Western person.
Oh, well then, yeah, you're probably not. You're probably more like a single lick of it.
It's like a spaghetti Western, except he's like the sheriff of a county, like in kind of modern-ish day.
Still not a Western person.
Yeah. I like Westerns.
When does Daredevil come back? Do we know?
I'm going to assume the spring, since that's when it was before.
I was hoping for something more specific.
I was hoping for Moon Knight.
I never know.
They could have him in it.
I'm very excited for Daredevil to have the Punisher in it, and have it being Jon Bernthal.
I was going to say, didn't he get cast?
Yes, I think that's a very good casting, because he's a pretty intimidating guy in the things I've seen him in.
That Twitter picture where he had the wall of guns made me very happy. Because I want to see him use all of those in the duration of the season.
They just keep going back to that room and there's less guns on the wall?
Yeah.
It's Chekhov's gun wall instead of just Chekhov's gun.
Now what we need to do is Marvel to give up on this separation of really big separation of TV and movie and just let all these characters come together.
But at least they're willing to entertain the idea because they have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Do heavily because of Disney and not Kevin Feige.
Yeah, Kevin Feige doesn't want anything. What I've heard, he doesn't want anything to do with the television end and wants to keep it as far away from
I just don't understand that, though.
And then you have DC who's screwing up by casting two Flashes.
And also casting a different Suicide Squad.
Yes. Good. Yeah. Job.
Like, I can understand them wanting to introduce other members of the Suicide Squad, but, like, Michael Jai White as Bronze Tiger, yes. Come on.
He should just play everybody. We have a movie where he plays everybody.
Yeah.
Can we kickstart that?
Kind of like what was the Eddie Murphy movie where he played his entire family?
The Nutty Professor?
Nutty Professor, yeah, just like that. Michael Jai White is everybody.
I was thinking more Eddie Murphy in Coming to America, him and Arsenio playing most of the characters.
Oh, well, I guess Eddie Murphy just likes to play a lot of people in his movies.
Have you seen Black Dynamite with Michael Jai White?
No, I have not.
Black Dynamite. Isn't that... Wait.
It's kind of a joke blaxploitation film, and it's hysterical.
Like, I saw that one trade that...
That's what it is. Where he's punching a shark? Yes, yeah. That's
okay,
the one.
Okay, okay.
I didn't realize it was a comic book. I just thought...
There's a comic book. It's just like the cartoon.
I thought that's what you're talking about. Movie. Like, wait, what?
Did they trade jumping the shark for punching the shark?
Sometimes you don't jump the shark. Sometimes you punch the shark.
He doesn't need to jump
if
it
the Fonz had punched a shark...
It would be
a
called punching the shark.
Like, in the movie, they like all of a sudden just a boom mic comes flying into the camera, and they like cut it and just redo the scene.
That's awesome.
And that's it. That was it for that.
Interesting.
It's a great movie.
All right.
I will take your word for it.
Yeah.
I have... It's not on anything. Is it on there? Is it on Netflix?
It might be.
Might be on Netflix? Well.
Could be.
Like, you can't just say it's not on anything for
as much
free
fun as
if you
watching
don't
a movie
that
is on a podcast.
Well, we can do it.
We have the
timeout.
Timeout.
No, no, timeout.
Let it roll.
Let it roll.
Just dead air.
Yeah. But yeah, two flashes. Because I don't know. The Arrow and Flash show, well, not so much the last season of Arrow, but those two shows, all the CW stuff, is getting a lot of good reviews. I don't know why they would just, like, completely disregard all of that legwork.
I'm fine if they want to have the Flash and the Justice League be a different Flash, just don't have him be Barry Allen. You have a very good Barry Allen on the show.
Wait, are they recasting a Barry Allen Flash?
Yes, the kid that's playing Barry Allen in the show,
Grant Gustin,
will not be playing the Barry Allen in the movie. So there's going to be two Barry Allens played by two different people, because DC likes to screw with us.
Yeah.
You also, specifically.
Right, me, because it really irritates me.
Just, oh, well, yeah, and they're doing a second Deadshot. And I think
Will Smith,
that's
right?
That's really it, right? It's just Deadshot and Barry Allen are the only two
so
doubles
far
right now? Yeah.
Because a lot of the Suicide Squad cast is, like, completely separate from the Suicide Squad they have in the show, right? Except for, like, Deadshot.
Boomerang. Captain Boomerang.
Oh,
they're doing they're redoing him, too. Mm.
They still haven't really announced Green Lantern, so there's still hope for John Diggle to be John Stewart.
Have you seen his...
In the Arrow.
That would just be outstanding. But have you seen his helmet? Have you seen his get-up for the next season?
No.
He looks like Magneto. It's the dumbest looking helmet I've ever seen. Like,
why does he have a helmet?
I don't know.
Because he headbutts people.
There you go.
He was supposed to be getting a costume and like a persona for this season.
Yeah, and that persona needs to be him in danger and a ring landing on his finger and him like punching somebody in the face with a big green fist.
Yep, and then he goes off to space for half of the season.
And that's fine, because then he shows up in the movie, and then we can all forget about Ryan Reynolds.
Yep. We can just move on. We can move on.
But can we not forget about Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool and all fervently hope that that's a good movie?
Yes, that's fine. We can forget about Ryan Reynolds as Hal Jordan as having ever happened. We can, like, Days of Futures Past it to where that fixes all of the terrible things that happened in the X-Men movies, but we can do that with DC where... Somehow John Stewart breaks time, gets rid of that, and then it's back.
Goddamn J.J. Abrams for doing this time travel thing right. Because now everyone's going to try it.
Right.
Because he used Leonard Nimoy and did a time loop
thing.
That
was so good, too.
Yeah. And if you got Leonard Nimoy on your side, it's going to work.
Right.
And then now everyone thinks they can pull it off and go back in time and change things.
The part where he's like... Kirk's like, coming back in time, changing everything, that's cheating. It's like a trick I learned from an old friend. And then just walks away.
Right, it's great. But it's Nimoy.
Yeah, that's the loophole there. It didn't work out quite as well for X-Men.
No, because somehow Kitty Pryde can teleport people's consciousness through time, even though she can only walk through walls.
Dang.
I hate that movie. I have that argument in the store more than anything else. People trying to tell me that movie is amazing.
No,
Is it amazing, or do you just like it because it reset how bad everything else was?
But my confusion is, does Wolverine have bone claws or metal claws?
It doesn't fucking matter at this point. That's the answer.
Because, like, Mystique is the one that pulls him out of the thing. Yeah, so she's Stryker now. So is she going to know to take him to Alkali Lake and inject him and know how to do all that stuff?
Yeah.
So he's probably Bone Claw now.
And then the anti-mutant, like, terrorist is like, oh, wait a minute, just this one mutant I'm going to torture the absolute shit out of.
Right.
Yeah. No, I don't understand. That entire
It would have been more plausible if it was Professor X shoving somebody's consciousness back through time, since he can do things with your brain.
Yeah.
That would be still terrible.
And he was alive in both of those points. Right. So if they're trying to use, like, the...
Right.
Like, you can only time travel within your, like, lifespan. They're trying to use that theory.
Well, no, not Professor X going back in time. Him shoving Wolverine back through time. Yeah. I'd be fine with that. Because he's, you know, the brain guy.
That's also an absolute stretch.
Way better name for him.
Of all things logical.
More than anything else, like... Why does Mystique's power let the Sentinels copy other mutant powers? Why not Rogue? Like, that's explicitly also, what Rogue does.
Darwin.
Oops,
sorry.
Darwin.
How come Sunspot's powers work when I didn't see a sun
so
at all?
I don't know what Sunspot does.
His name is Sunspot.
Just like looking
when he spots the sun, his powers work.
So
when he doesn't
looking,
spot the sun,
looking at just what the consistency of the movie itself. Why would the person who can change their shape give a robot the ability to copy anybody's power? When you've already established, like, in the first, second, and third movies, that there's a character who can take other people's powers temporarily.
The answer is the actress who plays Mystique was red hot at the time, so she was the plot. That is your reason.
Bam. All right. I was just going
to
say
plot. As opposed to Anna Paquin. Yeah.
And also, I think it was a four-hour
because True Blood ended and it was terrible.
Oh God,
it was really bad.
God, it was so bad.
It was super
it was
bad.
Oh man, really and I think it was originally like a four-hour movie or something because Bryan Singer just can't get over himself or something. So he's like, "I'm going to tape him forever," and then he had to cut it down to something that kind of made sense. Like, oh, we got Hugh Jackman. Let's just use him because that's what we've been doing.
Well, I mean, Hugh Jackman is awesome.
He is, but he's not the only X-Men.
I just watched like Real Steel.
500.
If you haven't seen
that movie's really
good. It's actually really good.
What?
No,
don't
it's Rock'em Sock'em and Robot.
don't even step to me because of Fantastic Four. If you're
Real Steel is better than
Real
Fantastic.
Steel is on FX, and I've seen Ant-Man.
Oh.
It's
whoa.
Actually actually entertaining.
But have you seen Fantastic Four?
And no, and I'm never going to.
I'm going to use all these bad plot loopholes and point out that because you haven't seen Fantastic Four, you can't say Real Steel is better than Fantastic Four, because that movie also looked like just steaming piles.
Just watch it.
It's fun, like Atlantic Rim was fun. Sorry.
No,
Pacific Rim.
Not Atlantic Rim.
You're really tanking your
credibility.
Don't
here,
look
man.
That one up. You'll feel bad about yourself if you watch it.
Yeah.
Pacific Rim, good. Real Steel's fun like that is
because
when a plot hole gets too big, a robot punches another robot in the face,
and
I don't care about the plot
and
hole
anymore.
Back
to the Hercules Hansen Stacker Pentecost
thing,
where that's terrible.
Right.
But no, but just because Hugh Jackman has, you know, a good movie and then maybe Real Steel, doesn't mean that he's the only person that can solve every problem in the X-Men universe.
He's not the only X-Men you could do a story about. For example, you could get Michael Fassbender, Magneto back.
Yeah,
and possibly
right
James McAvoy.
Yeah, but see, Bishop's power isn't anything like it is. He just absorbs stuff and then blows up.
Which is also...
Even though he has a gun that empties out his stored up energy, where he could just be like, hey, look, thanks, guys.
Yeah.
I got this gun now that's charged all the way.
Yeah. It's
forever.
It's just like when you fill up a sponge, and when it gets full, it just explodes in the sink. Right? That's what happens when a sponge is full. Yeah, it just explodes.
I don't think that's ever happened.
Combusts. Yeah, because
how did a sponge explode?
No.
Oh, you haven't filled it up enough.
Yeah.
Apparently
it's totally
not.
Plausible.
Yeah.
You haven't put it in the
water.
Microwave.
Is explosive. Yeah. Apparently,
it is.
Yeah.
I'm gonna email the MythBusters.
Yeah,
we'll
there
out.
We go. Because Bishop's power, he should have just been able to, like, you know, point at the people shooting at him, and they died. From
yeah,
the
but
realm.
Then they would have become immune to it.
It's like rubber and glue, right? Like, oh, gotcha, you're dead.
No, it's like
stupid.
Rubber and rubber, because they become immune to it, and they just keep shooting. And I assume they have unlimited energy, so they're unlimited energy into him, who can redirect their limited energy back at them.
Okay.
Then you have like a loop, and it's a paradox.
See, this is already better than what happened.
And then Kitty Pryde sends herself back in time.
Through the black hole that all that energy created.
Right.
Ah, right. There we go.
Did they just like Large Hadron Collider the fight scene?
Yeah.
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 That's what happened.
Yep. And it makes absolutely, it's the exact lack of common sense in our discussion as was visible in
that movie.
Most of those scenes, yeah.
Yeah.
Except for the points where Blink was like teleporting Colossus to do like mega punches.
That was pretty cool.
That was awesome.
That was pretty fantastic.
I can get behind dropping Colossus on somebody.
Speaking of Colossus though, I still don't understand like how do two Sentinels turning into like Colossus Steel pull apart Colossus himself?
A plot device.
Like they're like supposedly that steel is like, let's say, strength level X, and yeah. then you have everybody at strength level X. How do you like suddenly just pull them apart?
And he picked X too. That
well, see, there's two X. Two X is bigger than X. So there you go.
2X.
Yeah.
And it was written in the script.
Yeah.
Like if you've ever seen Robin Hood Men in Tights,
when he misses, says, I get another shot.
Well, yeah. Yes. It's just like that. And they all pull out the script and like, oh right, this does work. He is dead.
And then they go back to everything.
And Patrick Stewart, bringing it back to Days of Future Past, has a cameo in Robin Hood Men in Tights. Whoa. He shows up at the end of the movie.
Yes, he does. He's the king.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The actual king.
You know he is.
Except for First Class. That's like the only real X-Men movie I'm even going to recognize anymore.
Like X2 is fine.
I thought X1 and First Class were both pretty good.
That's fair.
I hate Sabretooth and X1.
I liked Liv Schreiber's Sabretooth.
Much better.
Because he's awesome.
Admittedly,
admittedly,
that movie wasn't good, but I liked his part in it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's not his fault that movie sucked.
Yeah.
He's good in everything.
He really is.
The Manchurian Candidate, as a counterexample. Although that was just a bad movie.
Yeah. He was in Salt. That movie wasn't very good.
He's in Salt.
Was he bad in it? Or just
no,
the movie
no,
sucked?
He was fine.
Okay, see, then he's just... He is...
Have you seen Goon yet?
Tentpole.
I keep telling you to watch Goon.
No.
The movie Goon?
Oh, the hockey
movie?
Yeah.
He's like the old-timey
Sean William Scott or whatever his name is. Yeah.
Who can't skate and he becomes a goon.
Yeah.
And he eventually has to face off with Liev Schreiber. It's great.
Yeah, he definitely
he's got the handlebar mustache in it.
He'd beat the shit out of Sean William Scott.
Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, the guy has three first names. He's not even a real person.
No. He can't even
make up. He has no soul.
He can't even make up what his first name is. He's just, you know.
Although I liked him in Bulletproof Monk. Although that was more because of Chow Yun-Fat than because of Sean William Scott.
I'm going to go with The Rundown.
That was also
my favorite
good.
Sean William Scott.
Yeah.
Role Models.
Role Models is awesome.
Yeah, Role Models is good. Because it's got
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd. And Paul Rudd's just gold.
His part, Sean William Scott's part in that was pretty good.
The explanation of Kiss was the best part.
Yeah.
So good.
The joke's so about his dick. As he's playing a pinball with like a 10-year-old.
So good.
So we've talked about how Liev Schreiber is really good in most things. This is a conversation Tim and I have had at the comic book store.
30 North Main Street, Glassboro, New Jersey.
About comic book writers. And we've tried to figure out what comic book writer hasn't really had a flop over the course of their career.
Kyle Starks.
Correct.
Yes, but he's only technically written one thing.
New York Times bestseller, Kyle Starks.
So we were trying to come up
with... Hashtag Kyle Starks on Capes and Scales.
We were trying to come up with the writers that we think haven't really flopped. The one I came up with is Geoff Johns. I've read a large collection of his books, and none of them have been bad. There are different levels of good. Most of them I feel are great. Read a book, Jupiter's Legacy, really good, by Millar. The prequel to it, sort of prequel thing, not as good.
The stuff I've read, one thing will be inspired, and the next thing, I just kind of filled it in. Is it bad? Did you read it and you were like, ah, this is terrible? Like
Jupiter's Circle?
Yeah.
Millar's a little different, because he hit so big with Kick-Ass, like he was just like, I could write any piece of shit, it'll be a movie.
Yeah,
everything he wrote got optioned. Everything.
But like, to go from something so good to something so mediocre,
I mean, Civil War, he did Old Man Logan, He did so many good things. The Ultimates, the original Ultimates.
Yeah, that started off outstanding. It took a major shit, but it started off.
And that was fantastic. Jeff Loeb's shit, and that's why Jeff Loeb is not a part of this conversation.
No, he's not.
A lot of people say Bendis, but I don't think Bendis is always good.
No.
What has he written that I've read?
Wade also is another one that
Wade is the one I would pick.
I like Wade a lot.
Wade, almost everything he's written I've liked.
What about, what's his name, Matt Fraction?
Yeah, but Fraction does some weird shit.
Yeah.
I think he did the recent run on Hawkeye, right?
Fraction did Fear Itself, your favorite book.
Ooh.
Oh, that so is Tom's favorite. So was that
like
book.
The, did he just do the Avengers part of that, or the cross, like the entire thing?
I think he did almost all of it.
Because all I read was the Avengers part of it, and I was like, I
shouldn't have read any of it.
So, apparently
the
X-Men I missed out.
Was the best part.
I apparently I missed out on the Colossus the becoming Juggernaut.
Which was the best part.
I was like, I didn't get to see that. All I got to see was like, oh, well, Captain America died, but it doesn't matter because that wasn't actually Captain America. That was somebody else.
Right. There was one issue of Avengers Academy where Ant-Man, he's Giant-Man, I think. I don't know if he's Ant-Man or Giant-Man, whatever the fuck he is, but he fights Absorbing Man, and he just keeps losing, and it's like, it's the whole story is like really good, because it's about him trying to just live long enough for like all the kids to escape.
Right.
And he just gets the living crap kicked out of him the whole issue. He's like, how can I stay alive 2 more minutes? I'm like, that's such a weird plot.
Yeah. Matt Fraction's great when he's with Chip Zdarsky.
Well, yeah, because Zdarsky hasn't failed us yet.
Right.
But he's too new.
But they're hilarious together.
They are.
They're like a buddy comedy.
They are.
It's great.
Zdarsky's I still really enjoyed the, what was it, My Life as a Weapon? The first of that Hawkeye series.
Yes, yeah, that was really amazing. That was fantastic. Took a big dump, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, book one, great. Yeah. Book two, really terrible.
All the little mini-stories?
And book three, infinitely worse than book two.
Pizza Dog was the best.
It lost Pizza Dog. That's what happened.
Downhill after Pizza Dog.
It was a spirit animal. Pizza Dog was...
Right, Pizza Dog, book one. Pizza Dog, not in book two or book three.
Mm.
And the further you get from Pizza Dog, the worse you get.
They should just give him his own book.
I thought that's where he came in. I thought he was book two. No, he was in end book.
They did. It was called Rover and Charlie.
Ah, that's a good book.
Tell us about that, Tom.
So... Rover Red Charlie is kind of like the zombie apocalypse told from the perspective of a bunch of dogs. So, also, I think probably my favorite like thing that they did in that book was the fact that when a dog barks, it's actually the dog saying, I'm a dog, I'm a dog, I'm a dog.
Yeah.
And that was kind of what made that. Like, as soon as that's what I realized what was happening, was that they were a dog barking as a dog saying, I'm a dog. Mm. I was like, I'm sold. Doesn't matter what you tell me, I'm sold. Bodies of water are called wet, so and splash. So there's like the big splash, the big wet, or like the lake around the island that they're on, and then like the actual ocean. People are, I think, feeders.
Feeders.
So all the feeders have gone berserk, and they can't really explain why.
Hmm.
One of the dogs is a Basset Hound, I think.
And who is this?
Garth Ennis. Oh. That's why one of the dogs is British.
Yes.
Which is
one of the
amazing.
Dogs is British, and it comes across pretty clearly that he's British. Like, you don't even actually hear him speaking.
Right.
You just hear, like, a British accent whenever you read his parts.
It's so good. It's really good.
It's just...
My favorite thing about that book is when you get to the end, they still don't tell you what happened.
No.
It's just the animals dealing with it.
No,
it's just
they
never explain.
Is this a standalone or is it a run?
I think it's
a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he hasn't written any more.
Okay,
I guess he could, but he hasn't.
I don't know that he should.
Is it better off that it's left right here?
I think so. I mean, if he wanted to really write more, he probably could do like one more mini series of it. It'd still probably be pretty good.
Okay.
Because he doesn't fail often, but he does fail.
They don't explain like why the feeders go berserk. It's just everything's gone to shit, and the dogs are like, what do we do? We're used to having somebody giving us food. What are we supposed to do now?
What were the cats called? Like Hispots or something?
I don't remember.
Something weird.
But the cats were like legitimately evil, too.
Cats were super evil. They were great.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
Me and Garth Ennis, we agree.
They, like, herd the dogs onto a bridge so that they're easier to kill. Mm-hmm. So, because they don't have any... The cats don't have food either, so they've taken to hunting because that's what they're used to doing. So they start herding the dogs onto a bridge to kill them.
And, of course, the cats are smarter than the dogs.
Yes.
Yep.
That doesn't surprise me one bit.
It's just... It's a good
hurts.
Book.
Hurts a little bit.
It...
Because I'm rooting for the dogs, you know? I'm a dog person.
Yeah, but they're not smarter than cats.
No, but they're not.
They still do pretty well for themselves, though. Despite that.
Because dogs are awesome.
They That's have, let's see, there's... Red is like the big dumb dog. Mm-hmm. I forget what actual breed he is, but he's kind of like a golden retriever, I think. And then Charlie is the little one, right?
I think so.
And he's the British Basset Hound, and then Rover is like a seeing eye dog or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's like a German Shepherd or something, some sort of intelligent working dog. But I read that book and it's like I couldn't put it down, and there were a lot of parts of it that are just like, wow, I'm sad now. This is really depressing. I want to go find a dog and hug it.
I just realized, is this All New, All Different month? Is this when all of the titles...
Is it actually going to happen? Is Secret Wars done? Has anything come out on time?
No, because it was supposed to be September, right?
Isn't Secret Wars like supposed to be over, and we're only on issue 5?
Yeah.
It's a secret when the wars are going to end. That's the whole thing. It's not that the storyline is good, it's just they're not going to tell you when it's ending.
Well, the storyline's not good. Hickman's failing. That's why Hickman's not on our list.
I really like...
Remember,
I really like the Secret Wars game.
I like Doctor Strange Peter Baelish.
Yes.
I did.
That's what he is.
I like Doctor Strange Peter Baelish. I like that a lot.
There were definitely aspects of that that I thought were kind of good ideas, but it was just completely muddied down by all of the terrible ideas.
Yeah, the good ideas are definitely way outweighed. Yeah.
There was definitely a dartboard used when picking what would happen.
Oh, yeah. Like, issue 2.
Yeah, issue 2 was garbage.
Yeah, that was unreadable.
I agree, even though I've never read any.
If you wanted to, myself, Tim, and Rich would try and talk you out of it. Like, Tim and I did. It's really not worth the $3 or $4, your time, gas that would burn extra by having to wait in your car.
Yeah.
It's really not worth it.
And the one thing I was looking forward to was the art. I was like, I really love the artist. I'm not going to try and say his name. There's no way I'm going to pronounce it right.
Sure.
But I was looking forward to the art. But even at that, it feels like you rushed it. And it's not even really...
Because he probably did. Because he's on an event.
Yeah.
Events always turn out bad, usually.
Yeah. Everything about that book is garbage. Mm-hmm. Book 2. Or issue 2. Garbage.
Man, it's just so bad.
Events usually turn out badly, you say?
Usually.
They're
rush jobs.
They've had a bad
Was
run.
Is Civil War considered an event?
Yeah, it's the greatest thing Marvel's done in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of Malar.
House of M was also...
House of M's okay, but it's not better than Civil War.
No, you're right.
It's good. Civil War.
Did you play Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2?
No.
So they did like the Civil War storyline, but kind of slightly different, where the overarching problem is that the Tinkerer, who's given them the nanotech to control the Thunderbolts... is actually like part of like this nanotech collective that is secretly trying to screw everyone over. So everybody comes back together at the end because they're like, holy shit, all of the villains that we've been mind controlling are actually working for this like secret AI collective, and now we have to stop them. Hmm. Whereas Civil War was really good, and it ended up as like, this kind of just stopped. With Cap saying, like, everybody stand down, and that's just the end. Like, what am I... Like, I don't have closure here. I'm sad. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the other one, it's like, okay, everybody come together because Nick Fury just got possessed by the nanotech collective, and we need to beat the shit out of him so he doesn't do anything dangerous.
They can't give you closure in an event because then they can't sell comic books after that.
Right. You have to tune in and read more.
Yeah. Oh, hey, what happened to this guy over here? Oh, you can't get closure in the main book. They're just trying to sell you on all of the new launches when it's not like this one.
I think it's strange how like crazy close together they did events, because last summer was Axis, right?
There's always an event. Yeah, Axis I hate more than Secret Wars. I hate
What is Axis?
It's bullshit.
Yep.
Okay.
Don't read it. Yep. I don't even order it in.
So Red Skull gets killed while he has Professor X's brain powers, but he tricks them into killing him so he can come Onslaught.
Because that's what happens whenever you kill a Professor X.
Who is Onslaught?
The embodiment of anger or hatred? Something
Does
like that.
Matter?
It's a big giant thing that can't be hurt or killed. And he has like infinite level mind control powers. He's invulnerable, infinite power on all scales.
So like the Phoenix, except just
no, like
it originally
powerful.
Was
like stronger.
It originally was a thing created by an upper level, like, I guess, what was he using? A psionic or something like that? He was kind of like Psylocke, where he made like a psionic weapon, and he killed Professor X, and then that, like, backlash of all of the, like, the energy or whatever from him using so much energy to kill Professor X made the original Onslaught, and he was this, like, reality warping, like, supervillain from, like, the mid-90s or something.
Nice.
Made very little sense, but he was, like, awesome looking, and he... It was,
people
like,
love that storyline.
Yeah, it was really good. But, it, like, the rationale for him getting made wasn't very thought out.
It was terrible.
But the storyline from him getting made was awesome.
In this story, in order to stop Onslaught, the good guys and the bad guys had to team up, and Doctor Doom and Scarlet Witch have to use the positive and negative sides of chaos and order to alter, to flip-flop polarity, like, the moral compasses of everybody.
Oh, is that how Tony Stark ended up being a dick?
More so than normal?
Besides genetics, yeah.
It shifted his morality about a fraction of an inch to the other side. Because he's just more of a dick.
All the good guys became bad guys. All the bad guys became good guys.
Yeah. And then when it straightened itself out, Stark protected himself.
Right.
Sabretooth and...
Havoc.
Yeah. So Sabretooth is a good guy. Stark's morality got shifted a quarter of an inch. And Havoc's a bad guy.
Right.
I like the idea of good guy Sabretooth.
Mm-hmm.
Since,
well, he's never, like... Evil, right?
Right. So,
Sabretooth is super effing evil. He killed a bunch of Wolverines, like wives, just because he wanted to watch him die.
Oh,
yeah, but with him good, it could have filled the role for dead Wolverine, which would have been really awesome. Like if they had just done that. Oh, and kept evil Reed Richards.
That wasn't Access. That was he's an ultimate character.
Right, ultimate. Sorry, got them all mixed up.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Don't confuse your bad events.
It's okay.
But one good thing comes out of all these bad things. I think good guy Wolverine-ish Sabretooth would be really awesome.
Yeah.
And evil Reed Richards is infinitely better than good guy Reed Richards.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's...
If either of them survive the reboot,
but they've done it.
That might not matter anyways.
Right.
Yeah.
Because none of it matters.
No,
all I'm saying is if they don't reveal from Original Sin what Fury said to Thor to make him lose the hammer before they reboot, if they don't explain that, I'm going to be pissed.
Right.
Yeah. That was the only part of that book I was like, what?
Yeah.
What could he have possibly said?
And they still haven't revealed it. But Thor was really good after that. The female Thor stuff was amazing.
Girl Thor was really good. All the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And it did turn out to be Jane Foster, right?
Correct. Yes.
Maybe they don't know either, and they're all trying to figure it out.
The writers are trying to figure out what Fury said.
What did he say?
What could he have possibly said?
That Loki's actually his dad.
Boom.
Loki's actually Thor's dad.
You're the Asgardian Duggars.
He probably just...
Oh, God!
Yeah. Yeah, I can't top that. It's not as good. I can't top it. I was going to say he whispered the plot of Days of Futures Past into his ear. And
he's like, what?
No,
the
but Asgardian Duggars tops everything.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
That makes that so much better.
There you go. You're welcome, whichever one of you jerks wrote that. I forget who... What was the Fear Itself? That was...
Fear Itself's Fraction.
Fraction. There you go, Fraction. Fix the plot hole for you.
I thought you were thanking the couple of viewers that are... listeners that are actually going to listen to this.
Oh, no.
All the way through to this point.
The other five of us in the room?
Yes.
guys aren't going to make it all the way through.
No. Oh, God, no. I'm going to fast forward to the funny joke part and then probably turn it off.
Well, then on that note, I guess we should end it. Well, thank you guys for riffing with me on a podcast that had no point, no plot, no nothing.
It's just like all these events.
It's just like these events. You made it through it. Maybe it was good, maybe it wasn't. Ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Right, because they'll just reboot it anyway.
That's right. So join us next month for episode 1 of Caves and
Scouts. All new, all different.
All new, all different, all stupid.